Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.
Wrapping up here on Take Command, last but certainly not least, the secondaries on our NFC East positional group rankings. Logan Paulson there, Craig Hoffman here. Let me run through the starters and any key depth pieces here for all four teams in the NFC East, and then we will rank how their secondaries stack up. So for Washington, you have Lattimore and Amos on the outside at corner. Sainer still on the inside at the nickel with Will Harris and Quan Martin as your safeties. According to ESPN.com, the current depth chart for the Eagles, Kenyon Mitchell and Keely Ringo on the outside. I will also mention Adoree Jackson in play there. Cooper DeJean, obviously, in the nickel. Reed Blankenship and the rookie Andrew Makuba are listed as safeties. Sidney Brown has also played a decent amount for them at safety as a backup depth piece that I'll mention. Deron Bland, opposite of Trayvon Diggs, question mark in Dallas. Diggs still coming off the ACL, so we'll see. They also brought in Kyer Elam as depth and drafted Siobhan Revell. In the nickel, Israel Mukumamu. I should know better than that, but that's a
doozy.
He's listed as a nickel. Haven't seen him play a whole lot. Don't have a huge file there. Donovan Wilson, Malik Hooker, Marquise Bell, the key guys at safety. And then the New York Giants, they spent some money this offseason on the secondary, Logan. Paulson Adebo, the free agent from New Orleans, is in opposite of Deontay Banks at corner. Tyler Newbin, Javon Holland, the free agent from Miami at safety. Drew Phillips in the nickel. Cordell Flott has been a key depth piece for them that's had to start every single year. And the Giants fans go, oh no, Cordell Flott again. Although he's had some nice moments. So that's the secondary, the key pieces. We can mention any other depth pieces as we go if they're relevant. But Logan, who stands out to you as having the best secondary in the NFC East?
Honestly, it's kind of like the Giants in a weird way. Like, I wasn't expecting that when we started the exercise. So let's just talk through it, because I think a lot of people are like, oh, Philly should be the group. And I'll tell you why I'm a little bit uncertain about Philly. Like, and Philly is crazy talented, no doubt. Like, you know, I think everyone looks at what they did last year. You know, Mitchell, like Blankenship, had a good year. Obviously, the guy in the slot from Iowa, I forgot his name already.
Cooper DeJean.
Yeah, Cooper DeJean. Like, I mean, that's a pretty solid group. But you got a rookie potentially starting. Makuba, who I liked a lot coming out of Texas, like, long, rangy kind of guy, skinny, but like comes downhill, physical, a little bit of a projection. Sidney Brown has kind of been your special teams ace. If he has to play, he's kind of played like a special teams guy, you know, like he's had some good moments, had some rough moments. And then Keely Ringo to start at corner is interesting, because like he's been there for, this is his third season, is that right, Craig?
Fourth, I think,
season,
so, yeah. Maybe?
And he hasn't played really at all. And so, you know, like the reports right now coming out of OTAs are that he's playing well, but you're basically replacing two really significant starters. And like, I know Darius Slay wasn't playing at his best last year, but he's a savvy, instinctive, smart guy who's seen a bunch of different stuff. And now you're putting a guy in who's kind of the opposite of that, kind of this physical freak, but doesn't have the CPU wiring just yet. And Gardner Johnson was the safety there last year, if I'm not mistaken, who was a really good football player, very kind of an emotional lightning rod for that defense. And you're replacing him with a guy who plays in a similar way, but is a rookie, you know? So I don't know. I look at that and I say, like, there's a little bit of uncertainty there. And I compare that to the Giants as an example. Like, I love Andrew Phillips, right? As the nickel, like, he's one of the better nickels in the NFL. So him and Cooper DeJean are kind of a wash. Paulson Adebo is a crazy consistent football player. Like, his highs might not be that high, but he's incredibly consistent. Tyler Newbin was awesome as a rookie last year. He led the FBS in interceptions, whatever that was, when he was coming out. So ball skills, and he's playing next to Javon Holland now, who again is not at the pinnacle of his career, but definitely not a bad football
player.
He's
still young. He's like 25 years old.
Right, which is unbelievable to think about, because I feel like he's been in the league for forever. But that group I don't know. I just feel like the floor of that group is really, really high, you know? And again, like, I think there are better players at select spots in the Philly secondary. Like, I love Quinyon Mitchell. I love Cooper DeJean. I even love Reed Blankenship, but he's a limited football player. So 2 of 5 to me doesn't necessarily make a great secondary. And I just feel like this group, it's kind of like an offensive line. You need 5 good guys to play well. And I feel like that's kind of why I'm leaning towards the Giants. The one thing, the one question I have is Deontay Banks.
Yeah.
Because I love him from an athlete standpoint. I love the idea of him, but he has not played well in probably since his first 5 games of his rookie year, whatever that was. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's been a long time. So a little uncertain about that, but it just seems like the floor is much more consistently high. And I think about it too. Like, when you're starting a rookie corner, like, there's a developmental process there that every player has to go through. And that's one of those positions that's a very prominent developmental curve.
It was supposed to be for Kenyon Mitchell, and then he was one of the best corners in the entire NFL.
Yeah, psycho. Same with Cooper DeJean. I know.
That's my thing. My only pushback, if I'm going to play devil's advocate here,
that's my initial gut reaction. Yeah, like,
I don't think DeJean
in the secondary.
I don't think DeJean and Phillips is a wash. I think DeJean's better.
No, I'm not saying it's a wash. What I'm saying is, like,
you said it. So if you didn't mean it directly, let's clarify.
I think it depends on what you're doing defensively, right? Because I think if you want a guy in straight man coverage, Phillips is probably one of the best man nickel players in the NFL. Mm. Cooper DeJean for Philly, he does a lot of stuff, right? He's kind of like a safety nickel hybrid. He's not bad in man coverage, but like, he doesn't have to, like, he's a run player. He's more diverse in terms of skill set. So for that system, he's perfect. For what they were doing last year in New York, I think Phillips is damn near perfect as well, right? So I think there's stylistically, maybe that to clarify, there's a wash. But like, in terms of football player, Cooper DeJean's probably a more consistent football player, if that makes sense what I'm saying.
Yeah, I guess. And I would say that the style that DeJean plays is more impactful. Like, he impacts the game in more ways than, like, Phillips is really, really good. And it's like you said, like, really, really good in the ways that he's really, really good. And they use him in those ways. But like, okay, if you're, I don't know, if we're into basketball analogies this week, maybe it's the NBA finals. But like, if you are a great center who like swings the ball on the outside, and you're like, oh man, I'm really good at making that one extra pass. Like, that's valuable. That's really important, but it's like not the same as being a dead eye 3-point shooter. Like, that's a more valuable, or a guy who can shot create. Yeah. Like, that's a more valuable skill set. And I think DeJean is a guy that he forces turnovers. He's involved in the run game. He shuts stuff down in the passing game, 'cause he covers a ton of ground. Not to mention, he's still good in man cover. Like, I just think the impact, like, he was the guy that when they inserted him into the lineup last year, that defense twisted into like a historically great unit. And Bond does, like, what's funny is he and Bond do very similar things.
Yeah.
And they kind of can, you know, opposite side of the field, mirror each other in terms of the coverage responsibilities, in terms of how they're able to play the run. Obviously, Bond has the added pass rush, and DeJean's got more range, as a guy who's a true DB versus Bond is a linebacker who can play really well as a coverage player. But it allows them to do a lot of stuff. And I just think that would be my counter argument, is the ceiling of what Philly does is unlocked in many ways by Mitchell's ability to just shut down a guy, and DeJean's ability to do all that stuff. And is that enough to overcome the solidness of Adebo, of Holland, of Newbin, of Phillips, et cetera?
Sure.
When they both have the outside corner question, which is very similar between Banks and Ringo.
So what I would say too is that, like, you know, they don't really, it's a couple things there. This is good. I'm glad you brought this up, because this is like, it gets the wheels turning, right? So they don't really play like a lot of straight man. It's like a match. You know what I'm saying? So like, they being Philly. So like, Quinyon Mitchell, like, in terms of his ability to like take a guy away, they don't really use him that way. You know what I mean? Like, they're not like having him follow someone around a formation and really being in man coverage. So what I would say is that, like, he's good at the match stuff really well. Yeah. Slay was pretty good at the match stuff last year. I don't know. We'll see how the Ringo does with it. But in terms of that kind of inside triangle, like the nickel and the two safeties, all three of those guys were really good at the match thing. And you took one of them out. So, like, does that negatively impact? Now, again, to your point, I think this is a good point. Like, they have two of the better young defensive players in the NFL, right? But does that offset having a completely new piece playing safety, who, say what you want about Gardner Johnson, like he did a really good job with that stuff, quote unquote, that we're talking about,
right?
You know,
right?
Whatever that weird match principles on the interior, right? So like that's the piece that I'm kind of the most worried about now. Like you said, they've got Bond, they've got Dejean, they've got Quinyon Mitchell. They've got a lot of pieces there that can kind of offset some of that. But how much is it offset? And does having a new piece in the triangle on the interior, because again, like it allows you to put Blankenship in more advantageous matchups, like where he's not kind of the feature of the defense. And so like, does he have to take a larger role? And like, I like Mukuba. I think he's going to be fine, but like it is a rookie projecting to a complicated right. defense. So that to me is somewhat concerning, but you're right. The other pieces there are really good, especially I know we're not supposed to do this, but when you kind of insert Bond as that other element,
right?
It's an interesting conversation for sure.
Like, and in some ways I want to redo these rankings as like a separate show. So maybe this is the late July show when your coaches, and now we're going to re-rank the same players, but we're going to divide them up differently. It's like run defense, pass defense.
Sure.
Right. Like if you were to do that, I think it becomes a more interesting conversation. If we're doing pure secondary and kind of basing it more on the players, I totally get what you're saying about New York. Dallas is interesting. We can get to Washington in a second, obviously. And we've spent plenty of time talking about their secondary as well and kind of the potential upside, but also the potential downside.
Sure.
And in some ways, we have some similar stuff in Dallas. Deron Bland is an excellent player who has been a like world-class
right?
type
of quarter.
He plays
nickel for them mostly?
No, he played on the outside, especially when he had all those picks a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And then... you know, Ravel, who knows what he is a rookie. Diggs, who knows if he's healthy, which, you know, I mentioned Ravel because he obviously could wind up starting for them. You know, Kyir Elam, interesting guy. Hooker and Wilson, I think, are very solid at safeties, but they're, you know, what are they in an Eberflus defense versus what they were last year in a Zimmer defense versus we know how good they were under DQ and kind of how those guys specifically were used. So, I don't know. In some ways, I feel like very solid about this pass defense unit, this secondary unit that in Dallas, but it really does depend on Diggs' ability to come back. And I don't know that they have like the depth in many ways. Like we're going to talk about with Washington. It just feels like there's some thinness to this group that and a lack of upside potentially. Although I mean, I say that, but also Diggs and Bland have two of the greatest interception seasons we've seen in the last 10 years of the league. Individually, it's just those are a while ago at this point.
I think that's the other thing, too, that's kind of tough is like with secondaries in general, like it is so up and down in terms of production. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so Quinyon Mitchell had one of the better seasons of any DB last year, but he could regress this year. Like, that happens all the time, you know? So I think that's another thing about defensive back play that's tough. So, like, maybe you got to bet on athletes more. And I don't know. Like, I like Dallas's secondary. I like the safeties in particular. I think they're just good football players. To me, they're very fun to watch. I am a little uncertain about Diggs. Like he statistically, he's always been very, you know, favorable because of the interceptions, the turnovers, all those types of things that he does. But he does give up a lot of yards. He does take a lot of gambles. And like, how does that fit with a new defensive coordinator? Bland, I think, is very instinctive to the football, has great ball skills, but is not the best athlete in the whole world, right? So it just is an there's always these deficiencies. And I do think with that group specifically, it's hard to know because it's kind of like, what do they become? And like, so they need to mention Siobhan Ravel. Like, I liked him a lot coming out, but I do think there is in terms of things that Dan Quinn has talked about post-drafting Trey Amos, things that are important to DB. And conversations I've had with multiple DB coaches, like ball skills, like his ball skills weren't great. You know what I mean? So like, does he become the next Benjamin St. Juiced, or does he become a dominant defensive player? Like, so those are questions that I have about that group. Kyir Elam has really struggled badly.
Yeah. Buffalo has needed a corner for a long time. And Kyir Elam, they drafted in 2022. He only played 3 games in 23, and then he wasn't very good last year. And that's why Buffalo had to go address corner again, is because they've been searching for corners for years, despite spending a first-round pick on Kyir Elam in 2022.
Yeah, so he's struggled badly. So again, it doesn't feel like a great group, but again, they've got some good players in there, right? And it just depends on it, with Eberflus, how that things comes together. Like with Philly, like I'm very confident that the guys we talked about are going to play well. Like, they're just good football players, right? There's no injury concern, right? There's a youth concern at two spots, right? An inexperience concern, right? Here, it's just like, how does that group come together is the more concerning element. And the consistent thing is the safeties, and they're kind of a specific type of safety. They're more box players. They can do multiple things, but I kind of think of them as more downhill type of box players. So it's just tough because of the this is exactly why. Because of the volatility of Diggs and how he plays the game, it makes it really hard to evaluate this group specifically, I think.
Yeah, I agree. Speaking of volatility, I have no idea what to do with Washington for the same exact reason. Like, who's Marshawn Lattimore at this point? Like, if he's good, the secondary could be all right. If he's bad, Sainer's still inside. And like, look, we've done this a million times, but I will run through the highlights in case there's fans of other podcasts listening to try to get some, or other teams listening that are trying to get a Washington perspective on Washington. And if you've made it this far, 50 something minutes into this, and you're not getting it, God bless you. Thank you for listening. Mike Sainer still, we really liked last year, but playing inside is not what he did last year. He wound up playing outside. So what, he's in a new position. Trey Amos, we like a lot, had a very good spring. He's a rookie. Marshawn Lattimore, shrug emoji. Will Harris, we both like him way too much, but like, we acknowledge that we like him way too much. How, like, how good is he? We're going to find out. And Quan Martin's a good football player. From a depth standpoint, like, Jonathan Jones, I feel pretty good about, is a depth piece at corner.
It's been a nice ad. That was a nice ad.
Yeah. Percy Butler, I think you like more than I do, is a safety. I mean, but
special teams.
Yeah, great special teams guy.
He's kind of like Sidney Brown. He's like Sidney Brown for
Philly. Yeah, and so is Jeremy Reeves. Butler's probably a better safety than Reeves, but like, there's just not a ton of depth there that, God forbid, something happens. So the other thing I'll mention is, because we didn't mention these guys at all in the linebacker group, like Hampton and Medrano, like, does one of those guys kind of wind up playing a Zach Bond-ish role at times in this defense? You know, guys that have really tremendous movement skills, but like, obviously saying a Zach Bond-ish role is very different than like, hey, are you going to go be the third guy in defensive player of the year voting like Bond was last year? So I don't know what to do with this group, man. No, Igbinoghene is back too from depth piece, like, good depth piece, not a guy you want to play starters minutes if you can help it for more than a week or two. So yeah, man, this to me is like the biggest question mark on Washington's team. And so thus I don't really know what to do with it.
Yeah. And you said that before, and I think it's very astute of you. So what I would say is I feel pretty good. Like, not amazing, pretty good about the interior triangle. So like nickel and both safety spots. I think those are good football players. I think Quan has the potential to be.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Something special. And I think we've seen Will Harris, like, the flexibility. Does it add an element of dynamism? Does it allow Joe Wood Jr. to get into more coverages? Possibly. I think Mike Sandersill is a special football player.
Yeah.
Now, like, how does he handle first and second down? I think that's something that, like, with Cooper DeJean, like, that was excellent by him last year. And it let them do a lot of stuff in terms of defensive coverages. Like, he's good in that area. Sandersill, like, when he had to do that early, it seemed like he was fine, but was a little uncomfortable because it's big, it's fast, it's a little bit nasty in there. So how does he do with that? But I feel pretty confident about that interior triangle. Trey Amos, after watching spring, I think is going to be at some point a good football player, right? It just, he's a rookie. So does that happen? It's the same thing. It's the same conversation with Kylie Ringo, right? Like, I am, after hearing the reports, after watching the athlete, like, I think at some point he's going to be a fine starting player. Like, what does that look like? Probably like a C to B range this year. But like, when does it happen and when does he get burned? And again, like, when you're matching up against AJ Brown, when you're matching up against Devontae Smith, Malik Nabers, CeeDee Lamb, like, there's some tough outs there, right? And so I feel relatively confident it's going to be good, but he's a rookie player. To your point, it almost feels like it's the same conversation you're having about Stephon Diggs here with Marshawn Lattimore. Like, Trayvon Diggs, right? So there is an uncertainty because of the injury. There's also an uncertainty because of the play style over the last couple of years, like where he's at. And I think the same conversation can be had about Marshawn. So like when you actually compare these two groups on paper, like what did we feel good about with Dallas? It's probably the interior triangle, pretty good, right? And Bond, I think it'd be a good player, right? But it's that other spot that leaves you with a lot of uncertainty. So I don't know. Like it's crazy. It's interesting going through New York and why I probably felt so good about them, because there's not a lot of questions. Like there's not a lot of questions about the group, right? Because they've brought in experienced players, right? They brought in a lot of experienced pieces. And then the talent of Philly is tremendously high, right? And then there's all these questions with the last two groups, and I think that's why it's a tough group to evaluate. So I don't know, man. It's I would probably say based on this conversation that they'd be the fourth in the division. But I think it's close. I think it's almost like a tie between them and Dallas at the moment.
So I'm willing to make the case for Washington third, because
I'm fine with that.
Do we have that. Like, do you have a file on Israel Mukwamu, the guy who's allegedly playing
what number is
nickel
he?
For Dallas? Number 24, he's listed as a safety, but he's currently listed, like he's listed positionally as a safety, 6'4", 205, 2021 sixth round pick out of South Carolina. And he's currently on ESPN.com's depth chart listed as their nickel. Now that might be me not knowing who the actual nickel is going to be, but like when we talk about the interior triangle, this dude's got like 19 career, or sorry, last season had 19 tackles. He's got 42 career tackles.
See, this
he's
is
been at least since 21.
If I think in a perfect world, they want Deron Bland to play the nickel, like because he's on our lads, which is the depth chart. He's the listed as the nickel. So if you have Deron Bland, Donovan Wilson, and Malik Hooker playing your interior triangle, like that's a pretty damn good group. And I think last year,
but then you've got either Revelle or Elam outside,
which is terrible. Like either way, you don't feel great about that. Either way, you know what I'm saying. So.
And again, like Revelle might be good eventually, but he tore his ACL last year. Like this, he is not only a rookie, he's a rookie coming off of an ACL.
So, I mean, if you do it that way, I think you probably put Washington ahead of it, right?
Because you say that's kind of my thing.
Yeah. Like the questions at the outside corners are probably going to be.
We got two dudes with high volatility, healthy, coming off ACLs.
Yeah.
I think I'd rather take Marshawn Lattimore coming off the hamstring with that volatility of him. And the volatility of a healthy rookie in Trey Amos, which again isn't great, but I think I'd rather go that route.
So would we go Philly, New York, Washington, Dallas?
I'll defer to you on New York, Philly. I think you like New York better.
I don't know if I like the floor of New York better. I think the talent of Philly is crazy. You know what I'm saying? Like when you look at the talent, like
I think at some point you have to. We'll make up for, sorry, Philly fans, we put Jalen Hurts behind Dak Prescott after he's...
I'm going to stand by that. I was thinking about that. Like, I was like, oh, should we switch him? You know, like, this is the thing I'll say about that. Real quick, I know we're talking defense. This is the thing I just want to get off my chest.
Yeah.
The other positions, offensive line, pass catchers, and running back are the best in the division and maybe the best in the NFL. Like, it's hard to me... to say that a guy who struggles in some of the ways that Jalen Hurts struggles is the best. I don't know. Like he's just got, there's so much support there. You know what I'm saying?
Totally. Like, I don't know. Totally. But like at some point it's like, well, man, I know all of these guys are really awesome, but it's the most important position in the sport. And he's been to two of the last three Super Bowls and played really well in those games. So
in the Super Bowls. Yeah. He has played well in the Super Bowls.
And he's a big game player. Like, I think we both like Jalen Hurts for what he is. It's just like recognizing what he is. The point I was making on the defensive side though is like if we're gonna use hey, they just won the Super Bowl behind a historically great defense as a tiebreaker and the secondary was a huge part of that, I have no problem. But and the Giants had the third overall pick. I have no problem going Philly over New York.
There are, but I think there are two. The reason that it's not like a knockout of the park Philly is they got two new starters, right? So, and 100%. I like both of them on paper. It's just they're new. And so you never know how that's going to jive. But Blankenship and, you know, all those guys are DeGene and Mitchell are good football players. So,
all right. Philly, New York, Washington, Dallas. That's it.
Doesn't so it was make- Philly. They were second linebackers, second defensive line. God, they're a good team, man. That's just a good football team.
They're worse than last year. That's the good news. The bad news is they were one of the best rosters in recent NFL, if not pure NFL history last year. So good luck. Here we go. How's their coaching? We'll talk about that next week. Obviously, they do have some new folks in in places. So we will discuss the head coaches, offensive coordinators, defensive coordinators on next week's show, in between a mailbag on Monday. So get your questions in HoffmanShow.com. Use the contact link or on Instagram at Hoffman.sports or at Logan_Paulson82. For Logan, I'm Craig, and we will see you next time on Take Command.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.